Hey, quick reminder right before we get into the show, FC Insiders, our newsletter that comes out every Wednesday at 2 p.m., just relaunched, and we are talking about insights and information that will help you shape the future of your brand. We're not so much about predicting the future as we are about giving you tools to shape your future. And those tools are being talked about in media companies like Forbes, Forrester, and NBC Universal, who are saying that we at Future Commerce are helping brands make decisions that shape the future of retail as we know it. You can get those types of insights right now at FC Insiders newsletter, and you can sign up on that list right now at futurecommerce.fm. Let's get to the show. Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. What if customer service could feel like a conversation between friends? Gladly is the customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By enabling B2C companies to focus on people talking to people, Gladly powers a lifetime of conversions across every channel from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in Future Commerce, demo. Future Commerce is brought to you by Klaviyo, whose customers have made more than $3.7 billion in revenue through Klaviyo's marketing platform in the last year alone. Choose to own your brand's growth with personalized marketing. Visit klaviyo.com/futurecommerce to find out more.
Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian and I am here live at Grocery Shop 2019, super exciting conference put on by the founders of Shop Talk. Just really, really interesting content and people and ideas and all kinds of really cool new ventures that are being brought to the table here. And I am here today with Hugh Holman, who I'm really excited to talk about. Hugh is the co-founder and CEO at Observa, and he's also from Seattle. Hugh, introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Brian. I'm excited to be here as well. Like you said, Grocery Shop is really an amazing event. We were here last year, too, and glad to be back.
It's awesome. Yeah, welcome to Future Commerce. I'm so excited to have you on the show because I think what Observa is doing is really, really groundbreaking and something that I see having a bright future in this industry. And so maybe tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into Observa. You know, who are you? How did you get your start? We're both from Seattle, which is awesome. I love, you know, being around a fellow Seattleite. Tell me a little bit about how, you know, who you are.
Sure. Well, you know, I spent most of my career as a technology manager, starting out in a startup and then progressing to, you know, a little bit larger startup again and again. And then during the dot bomb, I found myself going to a large financial institution, and it was functioning much like a startup inside, where we were insourcing technology away from a large service provider. And after that, took a CIO gig at Aquastar, which is a global seafood brand out of Seattle. So another Seattle connection. Nice. There. And Aquastar was really amazing for me because it put me in a role where I was really in control of driving technology and the technology strategy. And at that point in time, I went back to school and got my MBA at the University of Washington.
Oh, that's my alma mater.
There you go, another connection. And which was excellent. And by the way, my co-founder, Eric Chelstad, was earning his MBA there at the same time. And we'll talk more about Eric later, I hope, today. But When I was done with my MBA at AquaStar, they offered me a different role, and I moved into a strategy role to help that company, you know, kind of modernize and approach the market differently. And we really did. We became a more data-driven organization, a more brand-focused organization.
Nice.
And eventually I took over retail sales as well. And so now I'm, of course, running a $400-plus million business in the retail sector, and it really was interesting for me, and it's foundational, and it's kind of what led me to start Observa, and so it was really awesome in my career.
Okay, tell me a little bit about Observa. So why did that lead you to start Observa? What is Observa? Why did you start it?
Yeah, well, at AquaStar, I identified this problem in retail where you just had a black hole. There was no real-time data about what was happening in the store, you know. And you can subscribe to data sources. Nielsen and IRI are great, interesting sources of data where you get these four-week chunks. And listen to that. You get a four-week chunk of data, meaning you're not getting real-time data. And it's aggregated. And you're able to see, you know, how your brands, your products are doing in the market relative to your competition, which is awesome. But that's not how we think today.
Right.
We think based on what the real activity is. You know, when e-commerce has trained us to want that kind of information, we can follow the path of the consumer. We can see what they're doing. We know what products are presented to them. We know what they're doing before they buy the product, before they put it in their cart, what that process looks like. You can't see that in a grocery store. It's a black box. And so I identified this problem at Observa where we were building trade programs. And trade programs are where you're giving dollars to the retailers. So we're working with the biggest retailers out there. I'm talking Walmart, Albertsons, Safeway, Kroger, you name it, here in the U.S. and Canada, you know, in Great Britain and so on, building better and better trade programs to move our product, to put promotions in place in the stores, getting adequate shelf space for our products, growing our presence, and also putting deals out there at the right time for consumers to drive increased demand, to get that new customer acquisition and so on. But we didn't know whether any of that was really happening.
Ah.
And it's just crazy, right? Because most brands don't have a field workforce. And so we're getting anecdotal information, meaning one of our sales guys is out in the field, maybe a family member of an employee of the company tells us there's a problem, right? They can't find our product in a certain store. Well, it's helpful, but it's not complete. And so what I identified was there was this problem of being able to see what the consumer sees in the store, right, in real time. And with data and mobile phones and so on, it provided that opportunity, and voila, that's the genesis of Observa.
Oh, wow, that's super cool. You took this, what was basically a black box of what was actually happening, and now it's open, and you can actually analyze it and use that data to make informed decisions. This is a huge trend in in-store, brick and mortar, like having it sort of match how we think about e-commerce and think about conversion and think about, you know, representing our brand well. And I would imagine you're having to use some pretty interesting technologies to accomplish this. So tell me a little bit about how you're able to capture this data. What are you using to do that?
Yeah, and so we're really a retail audit service company. So we're measuring a retail store execution. And I know these are industry terms, and so I hope you get a little bit of an understanding of how retail works, right? So you're paying for space out there on the shelf. You're paying for promotion. And so what we're doing then is we have a field workforce that we've built. We call them observers, and it's over 90,000 people across North America, for instance, that go into stores and use our mobile apps to collect information. They're auditing what's happening on the shelf where products are placed or promotions elsewhere in the store. You may be familiar with display promotion where you walk by a product maybe in a different section than you would normally find it in a retailer, or end caps, which is the space at the end of the aisle which changes on a weekly basis with new products. We're going into the store with our field workers to find out what's actually happening. And so they're using our mobile apps to collect data, right? They're collecting information. They're answering questions. They're collecting photographs. And so what we do with that is we process that information using artificial intelligence and image recognition to turn it into photos and to put more data. And so we have a lot of information about what's happening on behalf of the brands that we represent. We also work with third-party service providers, which are, you know, advertising agencies, distributors, merchandisers, and so on, as well as retailers themselves, to show them what's actually happening in the store. And the thing about our platform, the Observa platform, is we're really kind of agnostic to the data capture mechanism. So we also have clients that capture the same kind of information using our mobile apps. And we take feeds in through our API or application programming interface from clients where they're sending us photos out of their existing systems. So it can come from a camera that's fixed in the store, it can come from a robot, a drone. It doesn't matter to us. We're all about processing and delivering quality data.
Wow. So you have your app, but you can also accept feeds in from different other images sources. You just mentioned robots, cameras, drones. Are you seeing brands and retailers actually using cameras in store to capture this data?
It's just starting. And, you know, that's why we built out our crowd. We did it because we wanted to make it easy for companies to start using our services. We know where this is headed. We know that it's heading towards ways to collect the data where it doesn't require a human, it doesn't have any additional effort, and where it's more consistent. And we love that idea, but we're not waiting for that to force itself to happen. We know that it's going to be shelf cameras. We know that it could be robots and it could be drones, and things are being tested. There is not mass adoption yet, and we're looking forward to that.
That makes sense. Yeah, I love the approach of using sort of the, you know, human manual element right now, mm-hmm. but being set up for when you can get this just from like a live camera stream or other kinds of sensors. I think you're right. Like, we're just at the cusp of seeing more adoption on that front, and so I think it's really smart that you've built a platform that can work with either, you know, any kind of a stream, whether it's actual people or something from an in-store.
Absolutely, because in the end, what we're looking for is information. Our clients are making business decisions based on the information they have. And like I said, in the past, it was a black hole. They had no information. And so now we're able to provide that today. We're not waiting for tomorrow. The technology will advance, and we will utilize the best, lowest cost mechanisms available as that happens.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That's good. So what happens with these images once they come in via the, you know, a manual capture via your app and a person, or via these video streams?
Yeah,
image streams.
So we're using computer vision, and within computer vision, we're using artificial intelligence to do image recognition. And so I'll kind of tell you how this works. We're training the intelligence, a neural network in the computer system, to recognize products. And we do this by training it with, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of images of that product that we capture out in the wild. We're getting them from the stores because we have people in the stores all the time. And we train it up to recognize those products so that when we receive photos in on our platform, we can instantaneously digitize them and recognize what's in the photos. And this is really amazing that it's something that's come to reality today. And what it enables us to do is actually measure against expectations. So now we're back to the same problem that I was mentioning before that I identified at Observa. I had an expectation. I thought that certain products were on the shelf. Well, are they? Now we can capture that photo, process it, measure it against the expected results, and tell what the deviations are. And this is super powerful because not only can we identify the deviations, but it leads us to the ability to fix things in the store.
Yes. So I was just at the REI flagship recently, and I saw like this table that was dedicated to Filson, which is a really cool brand. And they did a really nice job of setting up the display. But I would imagine that Filson has a very like specific way that they want their brand to be represented there, like this jacket on the model, and you know, this shirt is folded this way. And I saw another display, and I won't mention what brand it was, where there was a lot of stuff missing, from the rack. And maybe it's because they were doing really well and things were selling really well that day. So there just wasn't as much available. So this is the kind of data you're trying to capture, correct?
Absolutely. And what you're pointing to is what happens every day in stores. The problems occur and reoccur, whether it's that the product never made it to the display location it was supposed to be at, or whether it ran out of stock. Out of stocks are a huge problem in retail. And what we're able to do is very quickly measure those situations and direct actions to fix them. And so you end up leading to a much better consumer experience where you are more likely to go to the store and find what you're looking for.
How often are you monitoring this? Like, is it a every day sort of situation, or is it an every week situation, or is it an all day situation?
It really depends on the client and what their requirements are. And it's all driven by decision making and actions, right? And so if it's a consumer brand, they might want to measure on a weekly basis or maybe a daily basis if they have a certain promotion happening in a store. If it's a retailer, they're more likely going to want to measure on an hourly basis or at least more frequently because they have people in the store all day long that can actually address the issues.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do people use this data to help plan, or to inform actual inventory planning and like stocking planning?
Yeah, excellent question. Yes. So a supply chain on a whole has been missing this information. The inventory data in most retailers' computer systems is not accurate. And there's a lot of what is referred to as phantom inventory, which is where the computer shows that there's product where it doesn't exist in the store. And this happens for many reasons. Theft or shrink is a common cause. And unfortunately, there's no way to relieve it until you identify that the problem exists. And so this is one of the things we help our clients with often is identifying those phantom inventory issues or the problems where what the computer system shows is not reflect reality and help relieve those problems and fix them.
Interesting. Yeah, I know I could see this totally playing into an omni-channel strategy where you need to know if an item is available in store and like if someone's going to purchase that item online and pick it up in store. You know, having that sort of data right then and there would be really, really useful, especially like as we have like cameras that are placed at just monitoring in real time. That's going to be huge because that's a real problem right now. Like understanding what's actually in store, what's available you always end up retailers and brands always end up erring on the side of caution because they want to err on the side of caution right now if they have a true omnichannel strategy. So yeah, I can imagine that's really useful from that perspective.
It is. And, you're bringing together an excellent point about the consumer experience these days. It's not all brick and mortar. It's not all online. It's a combination of the two and how those things merge. And the whole idea of omnichannel originally was about how you manage your inventory. And that's changing. It's really about the consumer experience because in the end, that's all that matters, right?
Yes.
And so managing to the consumer experience is very important. And another thing that comes into play with e-commerce now that people are ordering online and picking up in the store or ordering online to have it delivered to them is you have somebody else that goes to the store and will pack that shipment. So
right,
and so they're being directed to go to certain places in the store to find the inventory, and if they don't have accurate directions and know that that inventory exists, they'll tell the online customer that they're able to fulfill their order when they really aren't.
Right.
And our technology is able to deliver better quality information on what is actually there in the store to be picked and packed for that client.
That's amazing.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. from recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. For today's discerning customers, customer service has become the new marketing. The world's most customer-centric brands are realizing that great personalized experiences are the difference between thriving and dying. And that's why Gladly built a customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By focusing on the customer, Gladly helps power a lifetime of naturally productive conversations across any channel, from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. Gladly helps companies better understand who their customers are, like what did they last reach out about, and whether or not they're more particular to kicking it in a pair of high tops or wingtips. With key customer context at their fingertips, companies can meet their customers where they are, and they're empowered to build the kinds of relationships that drive long-term loyalty and long-term revenue. It's tough to try to build a customer experience for the next 50 years using the technology of the past 50 years. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in Future Commerce, demo. Future Commerce is brought to you by Klaviyo. What do sophisticated direct-to-consumer brands like ColourPop, Huckberry, and Custom Ink all have in common? Well, they're all powered by Klaviyo. Klaviyo is the growth marketing platform that is trusted by over 20,000 online businesses. They have a dedicated team of experts and a platform that consumes more data than any other on the market. And Klaviyo can help you own the customer experience to grow higher value relationships. From a shopper's first impression to each subsequent purchase, Klaviyo understands every interaction and empowers brands to create more personalized marketing moments. When you have a 360-degree view of the customer, the growth possibilities are endless. I want you to check them out today by visiting klaviyo.com/futurecommerce to learn more. Once again, that's klaviyo.com/futurecommerce.
I see like a lot of tie-in to digital commerce here as well. So I would imagine that with this data, you're able to start to do some analysis on how customers are interacting with how things are set up or a planogram, as they call it in the industry, right? We've never talked about planograms on Future Commerce before, and I'm super excited to talk about them for a minute. One of the things you're doing is you're measuring against planograms, right?
Yes.
And so are you able to help retailers and brands be able to get a better idea or make better decisions around how their product should be set up in store?
Absolutely. And just so that everybody's aware, a planogram is the design of the shelf. It's sometimes referred to as the modular, but the products in most retail stores aren't put out there haphazard. It's to a design. And so what we're doing is we're measuring against that shelf design. And there's a lot of science behind designing how products should appear on the shelf. And there are dollars behind it because most of that shelf space is sold to the consumer packaged goods brands.
Right.
And so they're paying for that placement. So when the marketers do their analysis, they're looking to drive the most revenue out of a category and ultimately profitability for the store. And so they really want the stores, the individual stores, to be set up to those standards. And of course, we've been talking for this entire podcast about the fact that that's not what we're finding in the stores. It's not what happens. We love measuring against a planogram because it is the expectation. So by getting that expectation, we're able to quickly tell what the differences are or the problems that are in the store and start to direct change.
That's amazing. I was actually just talking to someone recently who did an analysis of their planogram and how their products are being displayed in a store, and they did some like in-depth analysis on it, deeper than they'd ever gone before. And as a result of configuration changes, they actually ended up doubling their shelf space with that retailer, the brand did, and they saw exponential growth, not just linear growth, but exponential growth in how much they were selling through that retailer. How are your customers, you know, seeing results from this, optimizing this sort of data?
Absolutely. So, first of all, they have the data. So
Right. You
start to see what is leading to the sales results, because with a retail store as a black box, you know how much product may have been shipped to the store, or and sometimes you don't. The brand might only know how much product is shipped to a warehouse that's feeding multiple stores. But then you might have sales results coming out, but you don't know what happens in the middle, in the store itself. You know, how many items are actually on the shelf, you know, how many facings, which is the number of slots on the shelf that the item might have. And that determines how much inventory is being held on the shelf, so how much is available there for sale. And so when we're doing the measurement for the clients, we're able to tell them, are they getting what they expect? And then we can also start identifying issues about them running out of stock faster and how to maybe reallocate space from products that aren't selling as well to products that are selling faster than they think. Think about it like this. If you have your dominant product and it's selling out by noon every day,
right,
you don't have enough shelf space.
Right, exactly.
So how do you get more space? You have to have that argument for the buyer that you're working with at that store chain to gain more space. You're going to do that one of two ways. You're either going to make an argument to give you somebody else's space, or take that space away from another brand and their product, or you're going to take it away from one of your slower selling products and give it to your higher selling product.
This is super interesting, and it's you know, it's more complex than e-commerce in many ways, because in e-commerce, you're merchandising, you know, you can, there's really no limit to, you know, the product on the shelf, right? So you know exactly when people are clicking on things and how often, and, you know, what your conversion rate looks like. But in store, because of that limiting factor, you don't have the same kind of knowledge right now. I mean, unless you're using Observa, you know, to be able to make that sort of have that real time analysis. I would imagine that retailers are trending, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but they're trending to get more and more real time with their data from you.
Absolutely. I mean, really, e-commerce is what the appetite of all players in the retail market for more data about what's happening. You know, in e-commerce, if you spend a dollar, you can track it through to getting a $1.50 in gain, right? It's really hard to do that with brick and mortar. At scale, when we're measuring the shelf with Observa over and over, we end up being able to report, much like Google Analytics, over brick and mortar. And with that, you're able to then do A/B testing and use other marketing mechanisms that you do on e-commerce. And so we really see the futures being very bright in brick and mortar with this type of technology.
Wow, yeah, because you could run one configuration in one store and another configuration in another store, and mm-hmm. see how they play out against each other.
Absolutely.
That's super, super interesting. This is, again, just part of a larger trend that we're seeing towards being able to use in-store, you know, use the data from in-store like you would an e-commerce play. I expect to see a lot of people that are in e-commerce right now get hired into roles, and there just be a whole new set of roles in terms of analysis and strategy for brick and mortar that has traditionally sort of lived in the e-commerce world. Have you started to see roles be created within organizations because of the data you're providing?
Yeah, yesterday here at Grocery Shop, I was talking to people, you know, major brands that everybody listening to this podcast knows, where they're creating either roles or teams, even groups of people focused on retail execution, store execution, you know, different types of terms like that, where maybe they didn't have that focus before. Maybe they left that all to their distributors, for instance, and they're taking control of understanding what's happening in brick and mortar, because they know that by impacting that consumer experience and really managing that last mile with the consumer is how to have the greatest impact. And we're excited to be a part of that.
That's awesome. I would imagine that not only are you able to affect, like, you know, the configuration, but also maybe product assortment as well. And so does Observa provide people with recommendations on how to like, manage their, you know, assortment within a store as well?
Yeah, we take a bit of a consultative role in that aspect. You know, we're capturing lots of information. And, you know, we're looking at the trends over time for the brands that we work with. And you can see the patterns. You can see where products are, to use my example before, where they're running out of stock in one item, but the other one's always on the shelf. You know, that reallocating space is a great way to grow sales, right? You're working with existing resources. The brand already has the space. And so we do make those types of recommendations.
That's cool. Another thing I was thinking about is, with this sort of data, I could see this being really powerful with some other emerging technology that's coming to play in stores. And, you know, using this data with, say, like a foot traffic sort of foot traffic data and mm-hmm. other types of in-store interaction data that's being gathered from other platforms, you see your retailers combining data and building sort of dashboards around you know, everything that's happening in store. How closely are customers being observed in store right now that you can see?
I think that, well, we know that some of the retailers are playing with that. They've been using heat maps on traffic in grocery stores right. for a long time, you know, because they need to get the consumers to walk the perimeter, walk down aisles, and they you know, use different tactics to kind of direct and change the patterns that people walk in the stores. And so we see that, and we know that that's being used. But they're using newer mechanisms to track, you know, certain people, segmenting the customers walking in stores and stuff like that. And we haven't been combining our data with those sources to date, but we expect going down the road for retailers to want to capture all kinds of environmental data that will help them better optimize the supply chain on whole. If you think about it, weather impacts demand for
yes,
certain items.
Absolutely.
Other activities in the community, sporting events, concerts, you know, whatever, you know, those types of things impact demand. And so by planning for as much of that in advance as possible, helps brands sell more, it helps the retailer optimize for the consumer experience, and everybody's happier.
Absolutely. Another emerging trend that's coming to stores near you, everywhere, is checkoutless payments.
Oh, absolutely.
And yep. I can also imagine that as that develops, that technology develops and retailers adopt checkoutless payments on a greater scale, I can imagine Observa is actually going to get even more important because the transaction's actually going to be closer to the item. Have you started to think about that future and where you're going to play into that?
Yeah, I mean, because we're doing image recognition for the items, we definitely see a role there. We're talking with other companies that are in that space. It's being tested at you know, lots of retailers with different platforms today. And we know that image recognition is an important part of that. The reliance on the barcode presents challenges for a lot of retailers, and with you know, the consumers doing the checkout themselves, there's the possibility for them to make mistakes. And so by being able to identify the package and not just rely on the barcode, there's huge value. And so we see ourselves moving into that space as we go down the road.
That's awesome. Now, let's talk a little bit about brands, because I feel like a huge part of what you're doing is very brand-centric, right?
Sure.
I think that the way that brands are interacting with their customers is changing right now in
yes.
a very, very big way. We've got a lot of digitally native vertical brands, DNVBs, that are coming to market. You see Neighborhood Goods, which is a, you know, sort of a DNVB department store, just get another round of funding. And so the way that brands are interacting with their customers is clearly in flux. And so are you, you know, how are you thinking about brands? You know, is stressing the integrity of your brand representation just as important as the ROI of Observa? How are you sort of positioning this to brands specifically, maybe not retailers, but brands?
We work with some major brands, and when you're a brand, having your product presented the way that you expect is very, very important. There are lots of promotions that happen at retail, and the brands design with their marketing team, they'll design how the product's supposed to be placed out there, which pieces of point of sale materials should be up, how it should be priced, displayed to the customer, how much inventory should be available there, you know, even how they sample products in stores. We measure all of that. So we work with the brands to help them measure the quality of the presentation of their goods and how the consumer is coming into contact with the brand in that last mile. And I don't think there's anything more important to the brands than ensuring that their marketing is deployed the way that they design it. And it does lead to sales. So I don't think that it's you know, one or the other. I think those things go hand in hand. And it's really interesting, because how is a marketer supposed to be able to measure results if they don't even know if the execution happened correctly. And in playing that role with Observer, where we're capturing that information for the brand, they're really able to measure the ROI where they haven't been able to in the past.
Interesting. So I think the brands these days are really looking to tell a story. And so that display, often leads back to that story.
Yes.
What you're really doing is you're saying, hey, your story is actually being told the way you want it to be told.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not only for the consumer brand, it's for the retail brand too. So we're working with retailers on their marketing assets and measuring execution of those marketing assets, making sure the right pieces of marketing are in place at those retail locations, because in the timeliness of that, it all ties into other marketing efforts. So you think about print media, advertising on the radio or the television. These campaigns all go together to impact the consumer and tell the story. And so we're out there measuring for the brand, we're measuring for the retailer, making sure that these things are cohesive.
Do you, this leads me to another question then. Do you feel like right now retailers have more power than brands, or brands have more power than retailers in the retail store? Where do you see things headed? Like, do you feel like brands are going to really have the final say on their shelf space or their displays, or do you feel like retailers are going to have the final say? And do you see that as being an in conflict sort of scenario, or you see them partnering together more?
I see it as both. I mean, they're definitely in conflict in negotiating for the space, because the retailer is charging the consumer brand for, most of the retail space. And so, that's a negotiation. So that turns the conflict into a partnership in a sense, right? As we go down the road, there's a lot of conversation right now about, segmentation of the market and presenting curated experiences at retail. And grocery stores, for instance, are looking at this. And what we might see as we move down the road is sections of the store for different people, where they're coming into contact with the likely basket of goods that they're looking for, and common products that maybe other people in the segment buy together, as opposed within a category. And it's something that's being tested in certain stores, but it's not very broad, but it's an idea that's out there.
Yeah, I think that's super smart. You think about walking into a department store and it's like everything's organized in a very like disparate way. It's like clothes, men, women, children, home, bedding, bath, and beyond. you've got these very like logical organizations by grouping, as opposed to what a customer might actually want.
Right.
And so I can imagine your data is really helpful for retailers to start to help sort of craft a story. Actually, what I'm seeing right here is this is where brands can actually start to partner together, and retailers can almost be a broker of that discussion.
Right.
Because right now, a lot of times brands are just selling, in their little section, in their little world, in their little brand story, and they aren't thinking about how they could be playing into other brand stories. This has been a big theme on our show recently as well. The brand stories that are told together are actually way, 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 way more powerful than brand stories alone. And so retailers actually have the opportunity to make that story the most, like, the more compelling, and help brands understand the value of, like, of what a complementary story would look like.
Absolutely. So now we're talking about basket of goods, right?
Right.
And so your basket of goods may look a little different from my basket of goods, but if the brands come together understanding, using the underlying data, understanding which products go together and present an offering to the consumer via the retailer that is, positioned for that specific consumer, you're going to walk in and buy everything you need at one location in the store. And that's really a different shopping experience than you have today.
Much different, and also very exciting. I think this is huge for storytelling, and also for customers. Like, this is going to make my life way, way easier when I go into a store. I think that's really exciting. That's really interesting. I think this sort of data, you know, and other types of data streams like it for in-store purchasing are both going to elevate brands to a new level and also help retailers, you know, be able to survive in this environment. I think that's another thing that we're seeing right now is, you know, a lot of retailers are going out of business. And I think that a lot of them are ones that have not focused on investing in technology like Observa to be able to gather data like Observa's gathering in. So where do you see, how do you see Observa sort of being able to elevate some of these retailers out of the situations they're in, you know, in this retail apocalypse environment that we're in?
Sure. So first of all, brick and mortar retail is growing. So that's the first thing. It is growing. You know, there's so much focus on e-commerce, which obviously has high growth, but brick and mortar is growing as well. The retailers themselves are changing. The shopper experience is changing, and you know, what the consumer expectations for that shopper experience has changed based on predominantly their experience online. And so I think that that's what we're going to see going forward is the retailers that really pay attention to their consumer and listen to what their wants and needs are, watch their path to purchase, and then try to implement changes in that consumer shopping experience that really meet those changing demands and expectations are the ones that are thriving and living. And, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot of direct-to-consumer brands that are now opening retail stores. And you see, you know, companies like Warby Parker or Allbirds. I'm on the board of a company called Rad Power Bites. They're testing store locations and are seeing what the impact is in that local market of having that tangible ability for the consumer to go into the store and touch the product, to try the product. And it's powerful in driving a different relationship with that brand, right? A stronger relationship for the consumer. And the traditional retailers need to understand this. And they need to approach not only e-commerce with that kind of open-eyed, ability to try new things with their consumer and ask them how they feel about it. They need to bring it to brick and mortar too. And the ones that are adopting the technology that really have those conversations going with their consumers and want to deliver the best experience possible are going to win going forward.
That's awesome. I think it's a good place to wrap up our conversation. But before we leave, I would love to ask you, what do you think is most important for retailers to focus on right now in the next 8 months? And what do you think about, do you have some advice for our brands and retailers that are listening about things that they should be looking ahead at in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to go back to the consumer experience. You know, nothing's changed in retail in the sense that it's always the consumer is the most important thing. Without a shopper, somebody buying the products, whether you're a consumer brand or the retailer, you don't have a business. And so the focus on understanding the consumer, what the journey that they take is, understanding that it may involve e-commerce and the store, you know, using their mobile apps, and then delivering to their expectations is of paramount importance. And having data to drive the understanding is really fundamental to that. And I'm excited, you know, to be able to offer Observa services to the retailers, to the consumer brands, to really understand, you know, what the shopper is coming into contact with, what their experience in the last mile is, and to be able to impact that and help them, you know, drive to meet higher and higher consumer expectations going forward.
That's super exciting. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Q. It's a pleasure to speak with you and learn more about what Observa is doing and in this world of gathering data and a brick and mortar level. And I'm really excited about the future of what's ahead with this. And thank you for listening to our audience. We always love hearing your feedback. So if you have thoughts on how brick and mortar data can be used in the future or anything related to this conversation or stuff that you saw at grocery shop, if you're here, we'd love to hear from you. Go leave us a comment on our website, futurecommerce.fm, or reach out to us on LinkedIn or email me or Philip, Brian at futurecommerce.fm or Philip at futurecommerce.fm. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Thanks for listening to Future Commerce. Remember, please give us a review and a 5-star review at that, wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Premium, or Spotify. We also have a YouTube channel that we've just launched where you can find all of the audio versions of our show, as well as premium video content. A few shout outs here. The audio version of our show is produced by Chris Harry at Pod Sherpa. The show notes are written by Jordan Griffey, and social media is coordinated by Sophia Ellick. Scheduling and coordination is provided by Aaron DeCruz, and our intro music is composed and performed by Spectral Wolf. Future Commerce is a production of Protein Commerce, LLC. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, we don't exist to try to predict the future. We exist to provide you insight and the tools that you need to shape your future. Thanks for listening.